Continue with Psalm 36. We will speak the psalm responsively, half verse by half verse. Transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart.
There is no fear of God.
For he flatters himself in his own eyes. The words of his mouth are trouble and deceit.
He has ceased to act wisely and do good.
He plots trouble while on his bed.
He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not reject
evil. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens.
Your faithfulness to the clouds.
Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. They feast on the abundance of your house.
And you give them drink from the river of your delight.
For with you is the fountain of life.
In your life.
O continue your steadfast love to those who know you. Let not the foot of arrogance come upon me. There the evildoers lie fallen.
They are thrust
down, unable to rise. O Lord, have mercy on us. Reading from Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Love beyond all measure, love beyond telling, love beyond our thought, love all loves excelling, love so amazing, so divine. What kind of love is this? Wondrous love, love unknown. Well, that's how some of the hymn writers put it. But what makes his love that way? Is it because he suffered? Because he died? Well, certainly these would factor into it. Jesus made a tremendous sacrifice that we might be free. And when we speak of faith, we look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who saves us by grace. We don't look to ourselves. Our works cannot save us, lest anyone would boast. But when trying to understand God's love, maybe we should look at ourselves a bit. Maybe we should take a cold, hard look. And maybe then we would at least begin to see the depth of God's love for us. God is our creator. He formed us. He placed us on this earth. He provides for us. He sets limits for us. We call them the Ten Commandments. And those commandments serve several different purposes. First, they place God as the one who is in charge. He sets the agenda. They are his rules, and our job is to follow them. They also show us how to act, what to do, what not to do. So, for example, you shall not murder. We're not to kill or harm our neighbor, but instead care for our neighbor and our neighbor's needs. The commandments help us show love to God and to our neighbor. But what happens when we violate the commands? Well, we are certainly not showing love. As I've told my confirmands down through the years, murdering your neighbor is not an act of love. But that should be obvious, right? Still, as obvious as the commandments might be and sound, do we still violate them? Maybe not as egregiously as committing murder, but we do violate them at times. And when we do, it's like saying to God, I hate your commands, I hate you, I will do what I want to do, and I really don't care what you have done for me. Now that might sound a little harsh, but imagine God looking down and seeing his commandments trampled daily, hourly, minute by minute. Not only that, seeing the devastating results of these acts, the callous taking of life, the thoughtless lies of others, stealing, dishonored parents, to say nothing of the other gods in this world that are worshipped, and the way God's name is misused, and the lack of worship of the one true God. Now multiply all that by the billions of people on earth, his creations, his dear people, run amok, running away. But despite all of this, despite Satan's apparent victories, despite the fact that his creation has turned away, God still wants us back. Love unknown. And so he sent his son, and it was his son's joy to suffer and die? Well, I don't know that that sounds exactly joyful, but the end result is restoration for all who believe, the forgiveness of sins, the guilt of sin removed, the curse of sin removed. So cheerful he to suffering goes, dying even for his foes, even those who set at naught and sold him, pierced and nailed him to the tree. Imagine that those who were so directly cruel, you know, beyond maybe even Peter denying Jesus three times and the rest of the disciples just running away. These are the ones who administered the blows, who inflicted the mortal wounds, who carried out the execution. And yet, had they asked, Jesus would have received them. He would have forgiven them. We may not have administered the blows, but we've certainly shown our disdain for God at times, falling into sin, failing to love him as he has loved us, failing to love others as we ourselves would want to be loved, and yet he still calls to us. Therefore, by faith in Christ, we can come back to God. We are restored to his kingdom all through the efforts of Christ. These few verses from Hebrews that I read follow on that great faith chapter in the book of Hebrews where the writer talks about Abel, and Enoch, and Abraham, and Sarah, and Joseph, and Moses, and many others, this great cloud of witnesses. The writer to the Hebrews commends them, for they received God's promises, and they trusted that God would deliver, even when it wasn't happening in their own lifetimes. We can look to that great cloud of witnesses when maybe our faith is weak, or God isn't so evident in this world. And when we look to that great cloud of witnesses, that points us to Jesus Christ. And we can look to what he has accomplished for the joy set before him, enduring the cross, despising its shame, but now seated at the right hand of God's throne. He has accomplished our salvation through his love unknown. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.